With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swan back in the saddle once again. It is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400, the Midlands, heard around the world on the iHeart radio application. Lots to get into today. The Clemson Tiger men's baseball team with a big weekend series victory. The transfer portal. I know Dabo Swinney has talked about NIL and the transfer portal and was met with some chagrin from people. Well, Alabama coach Nick Saban also was recently talking about the state of college football, as it were, here in 2022. Also coming up on the program, William Quackenbush. He is on Twitter at QuackTalk, set to join us. And a myriad of other issues to get into with you here on a Monday edition. A dreary, cold Monday as we cross over into the midpoint, or just past the midpoint of April, which got me thinking. I know Clemson doesn't play in the first game of the college football season, big boy college football. That'll be reserved for the 27th of August, with a couple of matchups that are squared up, a couple being Florida State and Duquesne, North Carolina and Florida A&M. I mean, so you've got a, I don't want to say a bevy, but you've got a host of games in August on the 27th, Vanderbilt's at Hawaii, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's a grand total of maybe 10 games, something like that, to open up the season. Nonetheless, how many days away are we, if you're keeping score at home? 131. 131 days away from the kickoff of the college football campaign, and I guess since you've already had your wake-up today, you can make that 130. And so it got me wondering, like, how far are we from the end of the college football season, at least for, say, Clemson, right? Like, the final game of the regular season for the Tigers took place on December the 29th. That was 110 days ago. So we are about 10 days, ladies and gentlemen, about 10 days away from what I think we would perceive to be about the midpoint of our quote-unquote off-season as Clemson Tiger faithful. Now, again, I know you keep up with everything else that goes on in the world of college football, so there were games post-Clemson, the college football playoff, etc., but even still, to think about the fact that we have come this far, this quickly, to me, is shocking. And I know the doldrums of the summer will be upon us shortly. But believe you me, the college football season will be here sooner than I think many of you can even imagine. And of course, for Clemson, they will essentially close that first, I guess technically second weekend of the season as they take on Georgia Tech on Monday, September the 5th. But yeah, I was looking at the calendar and thought, man, I can't believe, you know, we're getting ready to be in May. And you think about the 1 week I take off in the summer, typically, maybe we squeeze two in this summer, who knows, but normally just one. And from that standpoint, I really feel like we're going to be talking about fall football sooner rather than later. Of course, over the weekend, the South Carolina Gamecocks had their spring game, and rest assured, we will talk with our buddy Mike Yuva tomorrow to get the ins and the outs of Spencer Rattler's debut in Columbia and the feeling surrounding the South Carolina Gamecocks Garnet and Black game. I'm not going to lie to you, I know that that game was being streamed, but I don't say this to hurt any South Carolina fans' feelings, but I do have to say, I couldn't find the game on a streaming channel, and maybe looking back on it, the problem was I was searching for South Carolina, and maybe I should have been looking for Garnet and Black. I couldn't find it. Like, it kept wanting me to watch South Carolina and Furman. Like, it was throwing up a couple of other, South Carolina events, none of which were the spring game. So I didn't see a snap. I know there's been some controversy about the number of fans there based off of what South Carolina reported and what it maybe appeared via photos versus Clemson's attendance and people getting angry about that. That's a rivalry for you, folks. When fans are fired up in April about how many people attended the spring games 1 week apart, you know that you've got a rivalry on your hands. And so from that standpoint, can't wait to catch up with Mike Yuva to find out a little bit more about this South Carolina spring game. What I can tell you is that according to multiple reports, Marshawn Lloyd apparently looked pretty good. And he's a young man bouncing back off of an injury. They said one of the quotes I saw was that Lloyd was the best of the bunch over Juju McDowell and Christian Beale Smith. They said Lloyd is entering now his third season, and after the ACL injury took out his first year, he looked like he got back some of his juice a year ago and maybe emerging as the former five-star recruit. So you mix in a little Marshawn Lloyd along with a little Spencer Rattler, if you're the South Carolina Gamecocks, and perhaps you've got yourself a nice little recipe for more success. I don't know how much, but more success. Rattler finished the game, by the way, 8 of 10 for 79 yards, with the two incompletions being a throwaway and a flip on a swing route to a running back. Although there wasn't anything overly phenomenal over the weekend from Spencer Rattler, I think the comments that he put out about the situation in Oklahoma under the previous head coach Lincoln Riley, I think that might, again, it's not going to slow a ton of people down from going to play at Southern Cal, at USC out west, but maybe it does slow them down a little bit and make people reconsider. I think Rattler's terminology was toxic. Not saying his terminology was toxic. I'm saying that Spencer Rattler called the Sooners season toxic. And that toxic environment is, of course, headed up by their head coach, Lincoln Riley, or their former head coach. And so escaping a toxic situation would not fall under the umbrella of Brent Venables at Oklahoma, but really falls under the umbrella of Lincoln Riley at Southern Cal, who is clearly a threat. Obviously, with the transfer of Caleb Williams out to Southern Cal, the number of recruits that decided to switch up where they were going to go play with Coach Riley, you know, begs the question in a lot of respects about the transfer portal, going with your coach. I mean, the things that I think are sort of an underlying part of the spirit of what Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban clearly don't enjoy about this new fangled situation that they are having to deal with, because as coaches, there are a handful of things that you can sort of count on, right? I mean, at this point, there are a handful of things in this sport that you can just say, all right, they're going to be this way, and they've been that way for a long time. And that brings a sense of ease and calm and normalcy. But then you've got these other major changes that you're trying to adapt to, that you're trying to figure out. And all the while, you've got situations where a player's coach can leave, and then that same player can leave and go with that coach to a new program. And I think we're all for the players, right? I have never talked to anybody that said, you know what, I'm really against collegiately? The players. Like, nobody has said that. But I think they're the coaches like Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban, when they express concern about the NIL and the ability to buy players, the transfer portal, and all of that, is not something that should be taken lightly. Because these are two of the coaches who have really figured this thing out. And I don't doubt that that they will continue to adapt. But I don't think for the good of college football, the Wild West is what you want either. Like, there needs to be better guidelines. Nick Saban over the weekend said NIL creates a situation where you can basically buy players. You could do it in recruiting. I mean, if that's the way we want college football to be, I don't know. He said, and you can also get players to get in the transfer portal to see if they can get more someplace else than they can get at your place. And we'll tell you a little story about something maybe similar to that that took place with Georgia over the weekend. All that being said, I don't know anybody that is against the players or their abilities to profit off of their name, image, and likeness, or even their abilities to transfer. But I do think that there has to be some additional guardrails put in place, guys. Or it's almost there. Like right now, it almost feels a little bit like a joke. It almost feels like you turn around and there's a new NIL deal for a kid that just arrived in a new program. And, you know, there's always been something special to me about college athletics being just that, college athletics. And I we have professional sports in our country. And we have professional sports for football, basketball, baseball, I mean, on and on and on. We have professional sports for these kids. And I think that is one of the things that has made this situation into the mess that it's become, is that when they began it, there wasn't any clear guidance. And even the guidance was so loosely pieced together that the coaches who want to and the coaches who are willing have towed that line probably more than they should have in order to bring in players. And I think that is I think that willingness to toe the line by so many, and look, some of you will say, well, they crossed some of the lines in these cases, and maybe they did. But I think that go for the gusto type thought process is what's really going to end up putting a lot of, you know, obstacles or things to limit what can and can't be done. And I think it's a positive, but it will probably get locked down tighter than necessary. And that's like the old, it kind of reminds you of like your parents, right? You know, if you make good choices and you're home on time and all that, there's probably a little more trust and leniency. So that if you ever do roll up 5-10 minutes late, not the end of the world. But if you don't have trust, then all of a sudden they tighten down the screws on you. And with kind of what I feel like we've seen with the NIL at this point and how unhinged some of it is sort of become, you're probably going to see some tightening and maybe more than necessary in order to reel it back in. And when Nick Saban, and again, I know, like, people say, man, they're trying to level the playing field and people are going to do whatever they can to catch Saban, and that's fine. But I don't think Saban and Dabo Swinney have said the things that they have said simply because these two individuals are worried about some other programs running them down. They're not, that is not the case for these coaches. I think they see the bigger picture. I think they see the fact that the sport that you and I and so many other people love had some major issues that have been created in the past couple of years with the transfer portal and with NIL. And if you want to watch pro sports, why wouldn't you just go watch the Carolina Panthers? Why wouldn't you just go watch the Kansas City Chiefs? And that's the thing, and maybe that's what they need to adopt. Like, maybe the solution to this problem would be to create sort of a G League, a league kind of underneath the NFL, even sanctioned by the NFL, maybe 8 cities, and tell kids, look, if you wanna get paid coming out of high school, and don't give me the, oh, everybody pays players. So I don't want to hear that. Not true. You want to get paid, then you go play in this developmental league of the NFL, the DNFL, whatever you want to call it. And allow those players to go there and play. And let them get a little paycheck. And then let college football return to what it once was. And I know that doesn't address NIL or the free flowing movement of players. I get it. But there are only a couple of little things here and there that I think NIL needs tweaking on to be just right. But man, the situation with, excuse me, not NIL, the transfer portal could be tweaked and make it just right. But with NIL, I mean, I think there's a lot right now that needs to be done to button this stuff up a little bit. For a sport that people have worried about for years when it comes down to inappropriate benefits, to now all of a sudden, as Nick Saban says, creating a situation where you can basically buy players. I mean, that just took whatever you thought about the programs who were maybe doing things unscrupulously just threw gasoline on it. I don't love it. 803-450-0086. Let me know, what would you do? NIL, how would you handle it? Is it good like it is? Transfer portal, what would you change? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. With a quick break, we'll come back. We'll hear from Clemson Tiger head coach Monty Lee after the Tigers' series victory at Wake Forest. Rocking and rolling along with you, Clemson Sports Talk, Lawton Swan, here on a Monday afternoon. William Quackenbush set to join the program coming up in hour number two. 803-450-0086, text line, phone line. Looking forward to talking to Quack. You know, Kelly, she left the program. She's going to be doing more work with ESPN, and Quack's got a new partner. We'll hear all about that coming up in hour number two. But, you know, the Clemson Tiger baseball team this weekend, guys, going up to Wake Forest, the 23rd-ranked Demon Deacons. They win 1-0 in the first matchup, scoring a run in the top of the ninth inning. Then they lose game two on a three-run blast in the bottom of the 10th, 12-9. And I can't help but think, coming out of that game on, what was that now, Saturday, when Clemson gives up that home run to lose that ball game, I can't help but think to myself, you know, these guys, they haven't had a lot of success lately. They got to feel a little down on their luck. You know, you just kind of feel like, the wheels are coming off the bus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
And you look ahead, a series coming up with Florida State, a couple of midweek games as well. They needed a series win. And yesterday, 10-8, five home runs, two by Caden Grice. Clemson comes out of Winston-Salem with a series win over the Demon Deacons. And quite frankly, I don't know. I mean, that series could have gone better, right? Like a three-game sweep. But at this point in the season, I don't know if there's much more you could have asked for than to put up numbers the way they did in the final two games in that series, even without the best pitching. Again, pitching still an issue here in these weekend series. But Clemson survived and found a way to win. Here's Monty Lee following the 10-8 series clinching win yesterday in Winston-Salem.
Well, really proud of our guys, the way that we fought, the way that we swung the bats today. You know, had to go to the bullpen early. Got great outings out of the bullpen by talent. Jeffrey Gilbert was huge for us, you know, pitching on one day rest to come in and tough it out for us and give us some innings and pitch good for us. Jackson Lindley, you know, is the MVP of this one. For him to step up, you know, there at the end of the game and pitch the way he did to get the last six outs of the game just says a lot about his makeup and his toughness. And, you know, we just continue to swing the bats. You know, we hit some home runs, hit four or five home runs, and swung the bats well, you know, the last 2 days. Played great defensively, and we were able to hold on against a really good club.
I mean, we went over the approach before game. I mean, we all knew the plan. The biggest thing was just to plan it in game, and I really tried to trust in what they were telling me, and thankfully it worked out. I mean, that one felt really good all around. I mean, we had 13 hits, scored 10 runs. I mean, on offense, you really couldn't ask for a better day than that.
How about that catch in the eighth inning?
Well, a slip starting, so I was running to it, and I was like, I better not miss this ball. But thankfully, the good Lord helped me catch that. So I'm just glad Jackson Lindley went in there and just closed it out for us.
I just try to go out there and be biggest competitor on the field, you know. Go out there, be aggressive as I can ever be, throw strikes, and put my team in a good place to win.
What was working for you on the mound?
Fastball and my slider were dialed in. You know, I was missing up a little bit at first, but then I changed my eyesight and started to get it down.
So there you go, some comments from not only Monty Lee, but Caden Grice and Jackson Lindley. And you just kind of you think through the way Clemson came back on Saturday. They battled back in that game, only to have their hearts ripped out in the bottom of the 10th inning with that 3-run bomb. And then in this game, just to find a way to win. Wake Forest scores 3 runs in the first inning. Clemson doesn't falter. They keep coming. And they haven't been a great team as of late. Okay? But when you can put together a little momentum, when you can seize an opportunity and find a way, there you can gain confidence. And I know that confidence can't fix all the issues that this baseball team had or has, but they needed confidence, folks. They needed a positive weekend. And to go and get a win yesterday was a big deal. Now, they will take on the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Of course, Clemson just recently faced off with Georgia, and you'll pardon me, my days are a bit off because I took off Thursday and Friday last week, so trying to remember all the days back on the 5th, Clemson took on Georgia. And so, this team has not won a weekend series since their matchup with Northeastern. And that's why I really felt like any weekend series win was a big deal. Now, can Clemson go get another big victory against the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow, a team the last time they faced off, they were ranked number 10 in the country, and Clemson came away at Doug Kingsmore Stadium with a 4-3 victory. But there is no doubt in my mind about this at all, 100%. I don't think winning that game can change the complexion of this season, but it can certainly give this team a jolt of momentum that they need, a positive vibe in the clubhouse heading into another big-time matchup against the Bulldogs, who I just double-checked are still ranked 10th in the country. With a quick break, stay with us for more here on a chilly Monday afternoon all across the state of South Carolina. It is Clemson Sports Talk. Indeed, it is the show that shakes the Southland. Lawton Swann coming up. Don't forget our good buddy William Quackenbush set to join the program in just a few minutes. Again, I mentioned before the break, Clemson will take on the number 10 Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow, 6 o'clock in Athens. Then on Wednesday at 6 o'clock at Doug Kingsmore Stadium, the Tigers will face off with ETSU, East Tennessee State University. The game tomorrow will be on the SEC Network Plus. And Wednesday's matchup between Clemson and East Tennessee State will be on the ACC Network Extra. Again, in every year that I've done this show, I mention this. It's always shocking. Georgia leads the all-time series against Clemson in baseball 128-109 with two ties, dating back to 1900. The Tigers' Billy Barlow, who defeated the Georgia Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago, will be on the bump for Clemson tomorrow against Garrett Brown for the Bulldogs. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line, be a part of the show anytime, any place, anywhere. Our website, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Go check it out. We'd love to have you spend some time hanging out with us over there, where for just $63.17, you get 1 year of coverage, and we are expanding our coverage of your Clemson Tigers again over on our website. That's ClemsonSportsTalk.com. You know, I was thinking the other day, and can I put you guys on a mission here? I was thinking about a couple of things the other day, but one of which, most notably, was the fact, and I don't know how this is, we have wonderful sponsors on this show. So many people that have been a part of this program for many years, and I hope you support them. Please support them. They support us. They help keep a little orange on the airwaves for you. But here's the other thing. I have never, since I have been on the air, if you can believe this, I've never had a realtor. Not one advertise. I have also never had like a small engine repair type place advertise on our show. Those are two big entities for our listeners. Home buying and lawn and garden. If you know somebody, let them know about us. Tell them about the show that shakes the Southland. Tell them to get up with me, Swanee. I would love to set them up with a package to support our program and to continue to keep our program on the air here in the Midlands. But I've never had a realtor or like a small engine. I can't believe it. Well, I mean, I guess I have to because it's the facts. But yeah, that's the true story. And we can do some stuff online with the website, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. 803-450-0086. Text line and phone line. And again, don't forget, William Quackenbush will be joining us here in just a little bit. So, Amarius Mims, former five-star offensive lineman who jumped in the transfer portal a week or so ago. We talked about him potentially being the guy that maybe, you know, if Clemson's looking for offensive linemen, hey, maybe this is a guy to do it. Or to at least look at. Well, Mims went on a recruiting visit this weekend to Florida State. And again, we've talked about NIL. I don't love it. You know that. I don't know if this had anything to do with it. But Mims went to Florida State. And then after that visit, all of a sudden just flips the script and decides he's going to go back to Georgia. So first off, I don't like the transfer portal and NIL as it is. But let me ask you, if a kid jumps into the portal, should they be allowed to go back? Like, should you be able to unportal? And again, so fans of, you know, Georgia Bulldog fans, like, you're probably excited to get Mims back unless you posted bad things about this young man when he left. But then if you're the coaching staff, like, do you want them back? Like, would you want somebody back that quit your team? Woof, I'm out of here, guys. I'm peace. About that, coach. Like, I go so many ways, right? Like, maybe it's best for the kid to not portal for whatever reason. But should you be allowed to return? I don't know that you should. And I really don't believe you should be able to go back into the portal again. Not without a consequence. Like, you can have a portal with no sitting out if you want, but you can't have a portal, go taste the wares somewhere else, and then come back to our school and then do it again next year. See if you get a better NIL deal at Florida State or what. Like, to me, if you portal in and you portal back, the next time you try to leave, you need to have to sit out. Like, to me, this is another reason of what I was saying earlier about why I think this stuff has to get some better guidance or rules or whatever. And then you got some parody accounts out there that are fantastic. a Miami parody account parodying being a media member said, quote, "The visit was going well until Coach Norvell asked me to make a TikTok with him. I said no, but he told his assistant to start recording anyways and attempted to gritty to a Harlow song. I think that's when I knew Georgia was home." Parody Twitter accounts. Good stuff. Amirius Mims apparently going to go back to Georgia, going to be a Bulldog. I truly don't believe, though, that a player should be able to go into a portal, go visit another school, find out X, Y, or Z about that school, and then unportal, and then potentially do it again next year. If I'm Kirby Smart, you're not coming back to my program because you jumped in the portal. But more so, once you jump in the portal once, even if the coach said you could come back, that's fine, Amiri. We forgive you. Come on in. You definitely shouldn't be allowed to jump back in the portal again without a consequence when you leave. To me, that's just bad business. With a quick break, bottom of the hour coming up. Back at it on a Monday afternoon. You know, last week we sat down with Jalen Llewellyn, Clemson's latest basketball commit. Obviously, some turnover in the staff as Antonio Reynolds-Dean took a job with the Georgia Bulldogs in his home state. Well, Clemson also lost Kareem Richardson, who had only joined Clemson's staff a year ago. Richardson will be going to NC State. So right now, Brad Brownell has two jobs to fill on his coaching staff. But we caught up with Jalen Llewellyn last Wednesday here on the program. Here's what he had to say about why he decided to go from Princeton to Tigertown. Jalen, hope you're well, man. Thanks for carving us in.
Of course. I'm excited for the future.
All right, so talk to us a little bit. You're from Canada originally. Were you recruited by Clemson out of high school? How did this connection to the second set of Tigers in your career take place?
Yeah, I'm from Canada. I went to high school in Lynchburg, Virginia, and Clemson started recruiting me out of high school. I obviously chose to go to Princeton instead, but once I hit the portal, Clemson coaching staff, they reached out right away and continued that relationship that we started back in the day.
6'2", 185 pounds, you average 15.7 points per game. Looking at what you can bring to the table, is it a big deal to be in the Atlantic Coast Conference? I mean, is that part of the drive to end up at Clemson? I mean, I know you had other suitors out there, but what was it at the end of the day that sort of sealed the deal for the Tigers?
It's definitely a great draw to be in such a great conference because you play against so much talent every single night. So that was definitely a driving factor, but a lot of it was kind of a good fit, I think. I think I fit really well. The team coming back and what the team needs from the guard position. And when I went and visited, I felt really comfortable around the rest of the guys on the team. And I enjoyed being there. And the coaching staff made me feel really, really comfortable.
Jalen, so the portal's so weird. Like, did you already know that Alamir Dawes was leaving prior to your decision? Like, how does that work? From my perspective, as somebody that covers the sport, the transfer portal is a weird thing, right? Like, guys leave, like Nick Honor leaves, Alamir Dawes leaves. I mean, when you're considering Clemson, are you at that time kind of picturing this roster and thinking, okay, well, I'll be there, Alamir Dawes will be there, or I know he was already gone by the time you make your final decision, but, I mean, how does that work from the side of the student-athlete and what you're looking at roster-wise?
It's definitely something we have to keep in mind as well, and, like, stay updated because things change so quickly, and depending on roster situations with schools, things change. But I think the portal offered me an opportunity to come in and make an immediate impact. So yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Well, and it's also not something that really quote existed when you first started your career at Princeton. So as a student athlete, how much has the transfer portal changed the game, so to speak, in your eyes?
I mean, it's done a huge amount to change the game because if situation isn't right for a particular student athlete, they can look elsewhere. And it makes it a little harder for coaching staffs to have security and build the future sometimes. But I think it opens it up for positive connotations as well, because you can get a transfer guy and completely change the trajectory of your season. So it's a new implementation, but it's crazy though.
Yeah, listen, I can't imagine trying to be a coach in this day and age and build a roster from scratch, because you sort of knew for years that those third year, fourth year guys are going to be there, and now nothing is guaranteed. Now, you are familiar certainly with the Atlantic Coast Conference. Your father played in the ACC back in the early 90s. I was at Clemson around that same time, watching these teams in Little John Coliseum. What do you know about the environment there, and what has Coach Brad Brunell told you about just getting a chance to play in Tigertown?
I've visited the gym, and obviously there weren't any fans in there, but I could tell that it's going to be a crazy atmosphere, and I've watched a bunch of games, and I just think I would benefit from being in a home crowd like that, because I've played in packed gyms before, like to the caliber of Little John, but they've always been on the opposing side, so they were cheering, rooting against me. So it would definitely be a great feeling to have that many people in Tigertown cheering us on.
So for the fans that have not had a chance to watch any of your highlights at Princeton, or even some of your high school highlights, let them know, what kind of player is Clemson getting in Jalen Llewellyn?
I think I'm a quick guard who can get to the rim and either create for myself or my teammates, and I can shoot it from deep, and I think the most important thing is I love to win, and I'm just excited to play with the great players that are coming back next year.
I gotta ask, I mean, given the fact that you got your degree from Princeton, what was your area of studies, and what do you want to pursue while you're at Clemson?
I am a history major here at Princeton. I just finished up my my senior thesis, and it's on desegregation in Mississippi higher education.
Oh, wow.
I think we're looking at doing an athletic leadership program at Clemson.
How about the leadership standpoint? What's it going to be like for you being an upperclassman coming in? I mean, obviously, if you were at Princeton, guys are going to be looking to you and saying, hey, you're kind of the leader in the locker room. What do you think it's going to be like trying to navigate the transition to a new program where you're the new guy, but yet you're a veteran?
I think with the help of guys coming back, Hunter Tyson, he'll be able to show me the ropes early on. And I think the summer will be huge, because at Princeton, we never had the opportunity to work out in the summer or be on campus. So I think that'll be a great time for me to get acclimated. And then I think that'll help me fit right in once the season rolls around.
Stick around. Hour number two, William Quaggenbush joins us on a Monday.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swann.
Ready, set. Just call me Swanny.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
It is hour number two. That's Drive Time right here on the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you coming up in just a second. My good buddy William Quackenbush joins the program. We'll talk with him about a little bit of everything going on in the world of the Clemson Tigers. Plus, today, the debut of a new version of Out of Bounds. Of course, last week, we didn't even know this when we went on the air with Quack. Last week was his partner, Kelly Gramlich's final week on the show. She's going to be working mostly with ESPN, the ACC network moving forward. So Quack's got my new co-host in the house. We'll get the latest scoop on that from William Quackenbush here in just a few minutes. Now, we talked about NIL earlier. We talked about the transfer portal. You know, I want to see changes. I don't need these just huge wholesale changes, but I think there are a couple of things here and there that could certainly be cleaned up. We'll get Quack's thought. We will get Quack's thoughts on that here as well. Quack, buddy, welcome in, man. How's your Monday?
Swanee, it's going great. We did have a downpour here earlier this morning, but the sun came out and everything's just blooming great. It turned out to be a really nice day. Hope you're doing well down there.
Man, I am. So I mentioned before we brought you in, your co-host last week, we didn't even talk about it. It came out, I guess, just before you came on the air with us that Kelly was leaving the Quack and Kelly show or Out of Bounds with Quack and Kelly. Update us on that situation. I told people she's going to be doing some more work with the ACC network, but what are you looking like today? What was today's show on 105.5 The Roar for you from 12 to 3?
Well, thank you for addressing it. And I'm so proud of Kelly. Let me just say, I mean, I know you've talked to her many times. You've had her on. She's a delight to work with. We are truly great friends. She is not stepping into anything new. She is just essentially stepping back from her job at the Roar so that she can focus on some of the things with ACC Network and her women's basketball coverage. And, you know, she was in very high demand throughout the basketball season. And that really stemmed from early to mid-October through early April. And she had all kinds of stuff to do. So essentially what, you know, the season is let's say mid-November to maybe mid-March when the tournament comes around. So that's about 4 months. Well, now, because of all the, you know, extra, you know, stuff that the ACC Network and ESPN spending money on and the investment that they're making there, it's now a 6-month obligation. And so it just got to be a lot. And so I kind of knew the day would come. We shuffled some things around in at the station, and I'm going to be with Ben Milstead. So the name of the show is Out of Bounds still, but Ben, who's been, he's been at the Roar for about a decade now, I guess, almost. And
so he's back in his old slot he was with Roy Philpott for a while there.
That's right. He was with Philpott, and, you know, he's done some other stuff both on and off the Roar in sports radio. He's heavily involved with Clemson Athletic Network and doing a lot of stuff for Clemson. He's very big behind the scenes there. So I'm excited about it, man. We had a first show today, and it went like clockwork, so hopefully we'll do more of that.
Now, was there any change? I know he was on the press box with Brad. I mean, is there any movement there?
Yeah, so John Height, who was co-host of the Mickey Plyler show, producing for Mickey in the Mornings, he actually, because of his schedule, he kind of needed to move too. And so he's moved now to the 9 o'clock slot with Brad. And so it's Mickey, and then there's sort of a rotating, sort of some younger and newer voices and faces are going to be producing and co-hosting that slot. And then John will be with Brad full-time, and then Ben will be with me full-time. And Walt and Ramona, who are after me, they'll stay the same. So that's the totality of the changes at the Roar.
There it is. William Quackenbush hanging out with us, 105.5 The Roar in the Upstate. He's on Twitter at Quack Talk. So final thing on Kelly Quack, because I'm not saying we'll never talk about your co-host again, but we don't bring her up much. When you guys were both single, were there listeners out there that thought, hey, these guys are, you know, they're going to end up together? I mean, when y'all started building your show, when you were at the 9 to noon spot, like, what was that like, the continuity on air and the way people perceived you two off the air?
Oh, yeah, that happened a lot. In fact, we still have people who will like who think that we're married to each other. So we often have to give the caveat like we're both married but not to each other. And that's something we contended with, you know, the whole time we were on air. Really the whole time we were married. Because we, you know, our relationship was such that it was like brother, sister, or like sometimes old married couple, stuff like that. So yeah, it was quite something when we would have to explain that to people who presumably had been listening for a while and, just hadn't caught those very important personal nuggets.
Outstanding. William Quackenbush with us here on a Monday. All right, Quack. So Clemson Tiger baseball team, big weekend series win over the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. I'd be lying to you if I said when they dropped game two, Quark, that I didn't get a little bit concerned that Clemson was going to find a way to lose another series. But nonetheless, on Sunday, they answered in a big way offensively and come through with a 2-1 win. How key was this in your mind that this team sort of got off of that Atlantic Coast Conference schneid when it comes down to weekend series?
Well, it's huge. If you do the math, if Clemson wins 2 out of 3 in every weekend series from now to the end of the year, they finish up 14-15 in the league. And so you obviously you have no margin for error when it comes to winning series. Now, could they sweep a couple? Sure. This doesn't seem like a team that's going to play necessarily well enough or play a weak enough opponent to sweep more than maybe one series, and that's that last series with Boston College. You're looking at a team, Swanee, that did that this weekend in a weird way is the best way I can say it, because you only got got 1 1/3 innings from your starting pitchers on Saturday and Sunday, and you were able to almost win one where you came all the way back and win the other one. That ain't going to happen every weekend, and especially when that's not the design. I said earlier today, and we don't have a ton of time, so I'm not sure I can go all the way into it, but I said that I felt like Clemson may benefit from like an opener system that we're seeing in the minor leagues and a little bit in midweek games where you get a 1-2 inning pitcher that sort of just gets things going the first time through the order, and then what you call a bulk guy is essentially the second pitcher in, and that's the main one. And we've seen it work for certain teams in certain situations. I'm not sure you can replicate it every weekend. It's not advisable, I would say. You need your first guy to go out and handle business for a long time. But for this Clemson team who, you know, they haven't really been able to find any more than one reliable weekend star that you can count on, putting somebody that's not going to be required to go deep into the game that first time through the order or the first inning or two if things go well, and then putting somebody like Nick Hoffman. Look at how he threw in the stead of Jay Dill on Saturday. He gave you essentially a quality start. He was just the second guy. He gives you 6 1/3, 2 runs. He gives you a chance to come back in the ballgame. Again, I don't know if that'll work all the time, but I feel like Clemson's run out of options here. You can move Billy Barlow into the weekend rotation. I think that could help. The real key for Clemson was they didn't beat themselves defensively this weekend, and they hit the baseball. And they matched Wake Forest when they hit it, and that the bats didn't go away. One thing that was really disconcerting to me as I watched them get swept by Notre Dame 2 weekends ago was the fact that the bats just sort of went to sleep. As soon as Notre Dame kind of got going, Clemson's bats didn't wake up. And that was hard to watch. I think the way that Notre Dame beat Clemson was worse than actually the beating that took place. And so for the bats to stay awake and for the bats to stay alive down 7-1 and down 9-2 and down 4-3 on Sunday and to keep on keeping on and to find some answers, not consistent answers, not in a way that you might like, not the same guy over and over, but just somebody who's able to get a few big outs for you. It was, I would say Hoffman on Saturday did a great job of that. And then Jackson Lindley at the end of the ball game, where it's 10-4, all of a sudden it's 10-8. Labriola comes in. He can't get his one guy, so Lindley needs to come in and shut the door, and he does with 7 straight outs. That's the kind of stuff they're going to have to do. They are going to go into weekend series 20 not having answers. They are going into a series against Florida State not knowing what the heck is going to happen. They're going into 2 midweek games not knowing what's going to happen. Or I'm not even sure that they have a great way to plan for how to use guys. It's going to have to be really a game-by-game situation because Clemson just doesn't have pitching that's going to allow it to plan ahead a whole bunch. If they continue to hit like they did this weekend, though, they can have a chance against a Florida State pitching staff that is really, really, really good.
Yeah, I tell you, just to break through this weekend, especially yesterday, to find a way, like, you know, they talk about with Clemson Tiger basketball, Brad Brunell always talks about that grit and just having, you know, that willingness to battle, and that's what they did this weekend. I felt like, man, I thought this series, honestly, Qualk, was like, you don't win this. I mean, I'm not saying turn the lights out, but, buddy, it was going to be tough nonetheless. A good positive momentum for the Tigers off of that victory over the 23rd-ranked Demon Deacons. But since we talked, Qualk, Clemson Tiger football teams picked up a couple of commitments. Four-star quarterback, you and I were talking about it on Monday last week. Christopher Vezina, who committed to Clemson, and then also Reed McKeska, the big tight end out of Texas. I talked to McKeska last week as well, and I'll tell you this, man, he just seems like a guy that really kind of fits that Clemson mold.
Yeah, and look, I think what you said about baseball, I think is accurate with the grit. I think the grit that Clemson's showing on the recruiting trail, too, because think about what they've had to withstand, okay? They've had to withstand not just, particularly on the offensive side, okay? You get two commits, one's from Rosina and the other one from McKeska, who, as we know, tight end is a little bit of a difficult position to prospect out. Obviously, you'd love to have everybody would love to have a Brock Bowers, but ultimately they don't come around all the time. A lot of times it's projectability, it's fit. There's a lot of things that really come into play there. He very well could be a four-star by the time it's all said and done, even if he's not. You know, Davis Allen went number one in his class, but I don't think Clemson's trading him for anybody. But think about it. You had a whole season where things went bad offensively. You had a whole, you know, a bunch of coaching changes. Then you had a spring where it didn't look that great and the returns weren't that great. And, you know, it didn't look great in the spring game offensively, certainly. And so, you're giving rival recruiters a lot of negative things to say. And then the fact you've only got one commit, I think it was making people antsy. But you know this, Swanee, a lot of times your recruiting class doesn't develop until you get that quarterback in. Or you get a magnetic personality that's highly sought after, like a Brian Brzee, perhaps.
Right.
That was sort of the linchpin of that recruiting class. And so you bring in Vezina. You've got one domino in McKeska. You're probably going to see some others in the next few weeks. And another thing about staff grit, you know, going back to baseball for a second, they started trying some new things, didn't they? I mean, they put David Lewis in the lineup. They moved Caden Grice to center field. Not all those things are going to work, but they've shown an ability. Look, we're going to exhaust all options. We're not just going to keep doing the same thing. Clemson setting up an official visit weekend for that first weekend, June, I think is interesting because they have been totally, totally against summer official visit weekends. But they're trying to make sure now that they don't lose recruitment just because of a rigid stance in the calendar. Again, this is in the face of people writing the 100,000th column about how rigid Dabo Swinney is and how he doesn't change with the times and this and that and the other thing. USA Today went after him last week because it's a day that ends in Y, and USA Today, somebody is going to go after Dabo. These are two big-time pickups for the future of Clemson's offense, and I think there's more to come because of the way that Clemson continue to attack in recruiting.
Qualk, we only got about 5 minutes, and I know how you can pontificate on a topic like this, and you bring it perfectly full circle here with the Sweeney comments. Are you, I mean, help me out, right? Like, Nick Saban is supposed to be the bad guy, I feel like. Dabo Swinney is also sort of molded into the bad guy by a lot of people. So I'm often surprised that when these two coaches say something, Dabo Swinney's the one that the bus gets thrown at, and Nick Saban might catch a little bit of flack, but not nearly as much. I help me out on this, Qualk. I need guidance.
Well, I will say, I don't think that it's all invented, okay? Nick Saban is a better politician than Dabo Swinney is. Nick Saban is better at couching his statements than Dabo Swinney is. I think as someone who in another life might be a politician, might be a political comms director.
You got my vote.
I would say that Dabo's, and you know what, Dabo Swinney, and look, I might have gone to law school in another life, Swanee. Dabo Swinney is a bad politician if you're a comms director. He's a bad client if you're an attorney because he says stuff that he doesn't need to say that is either going to be correctly construed or misconstrued to paint him in a negative light. The example of the Delta CEO and the baggage handler, He didn't have to say that. Nick Saban said the same thing, but he didn't use that exact. And look, I know that the media, particularly the national voices that are always badgering Dabo, I think for either political or religious or cultural reasons or what have you, where Dabo seems like this really old bad man who just likes the old bad system and all the, you know, what, and I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to get myself in trouble, but he's like the caricature of everything that a certain type of media member hates and loathes and is actually a part of. We can't get into that, but that they really hate about the current system. And they see themselves as outside and working to beat guys like Dabo Swinney. For some reason, Nick Saban isn't like that because Nick Saban always sort of has an angle, right? Well, for example, he said in his comments last week that, by the way, USA Today did not spend a lot of time writing a hit piece on.
Right.
He said, well, I would like all of our players to get paid the same. And I'm thinking, now, wait a second. That's not free market, and that's not even really that good for recruiting, but it sounds nice. He doesn't even mean that. This is the same guy who talked about how much his quarterback was making last year. And now all of a sudden he wants everybody to get the same. That he's not even making sense. It doesn't even jive with his statements. But at the time he said them and the way he said them, both things that he said that are self-contradictory, in my opinion, they sounded really good, didn't they? And they sound good for different reasons, but they sound good to the same person. And so everyone applauds Nick Saban, whereas Dabo, who's very, you know, he's just going to say what he thinks and he's not going to try to couch it or anything like that. He gets reamed because he's supposed to get reamed, and everything he says is horrible. I think that's the difference. And look, some of that is, you know that the media is against you, so you have to watch what you say. Or you know that people are going to take and twist it, so you have to watch what you say. And that's unfair, but it's true. So Dabo has to take some responsibility of that. Some of it is, it sucks that there appears to be a media apparatus that is committed to sort of amplifying and putting under a magnifying glass every single slightly questionable thing that Dabo Swinney says in a bad faith manner, while not looking at the fact that there are other people saying the same stuff, but because you don't mind those people or you actually like those people, you don't care. It's messengers versus messages. It's a big issue in our entire culture, and this is a perfect example of it, where if we would just criticize or applaud messages, we'd be saying different stuff than right now, where it appears to be all about who is saying the stuff, not what is being said.
You know what I think part of it is, Qualk, and we only got about a minute and a half, but I think it's because Nick Saban is sort of viewed as a curmudgeon, and Swinney is viewed as this happy-go-lucky kind of guy, and, you know, just has a very positive outlook. And I think a lot of people just don't like positivity. You know what I mean? Their life isn't as great as Dabo Swinney's, or they whatever, and then they go, what can we do to tear this guy down? Because I don't like seeing this smiling face on my TV. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
You know, it's kind of like megachurch pastor Swanee, and I'm not saying that Dabo Swinney's like this, but, you know, one thing, I think one of the reasons people hate megachurch pastors is that they're really rich, and they feel like they're, like, preying on people to become rich. And so Dabo kind of, because he's from the South, and he fits kind of the caricature of a megachurch pastor, right? He's kind of, you know, he's kind of suave, and he's kind of just doing his own thing right there. To me, that has a lot to do with it, that it's the way you come about your wealth, and how dare you make money off the backs of these people, et cetera. Meanwhile, Nick Saban, again, he is able to avoid that caricature of himself because he throws comments into his commentary that seem to be like, whoa, this guy wants everybody to make the same. That's amazing. He's not a heartless rich guy. He doesn't care about the system. He wants to blow the system up when we know, in fact, Nick Saban has taken advantage of the system more than any coach that has ever walked. And to his credit, he's done that. But he's able to kind of just make the certain statement that gets people off his trail. I think it's a good – and I think you're right, too. He's kind of seen as a guy who's fading out, where people feel like they're going to be stuck with Dabo for a while.
Oof. Follow him on Twitter, at Qualt Talk. Qualt, buddy. Talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Swanee. Always good to be with you.
It is the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk, Lawton Swann, and excited to have Clemson's newest commit on the program with us, Reed McKeska from Bridgeland, Texas, Bridgeland High School, just outside of Houston. Reed, appreciate you joining us, and hey, man, congratulations on your commitment to Clemson.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you. It's definitely a very exciting time.
You know, tight end is a position for the Clemson Tigers that I've watched from my seat for several years and thought, man, it's got to take a step up. It appears they've got some guys on campus right now that are going to move that position forward. But bringing in a guy with your size, 6'6", 230-plus pounds, I mean, you fit the mold of what I kind of want to see at Clemson. What have you heard from the staff just from the sheer fact of the size and the ability that you bring to the table?
They're super excited. I think they definitely want to put more emphasis on tight ends.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Here and moving forward, like they see me playing inline, H-back, and split out. If I do all those effectively. So I just fit their offense really well because they're really a balanced offense. So I'll be able to run block and run routes and catch and run and all that. So definitely I'm a great fit for them.
Reeb, with that size, I know a lot of times as kids are growing up, that coordination, just issues with those kind of things. When did you really start to fill out and come into your own as far as an athlete, given your frame?
I'd say probably sophomore year. I was a pretty skinny kid all my life until about sophomore year. Started lifting and gaining some mass.
Reed McKeska, again, four-star tight end prospect, 6'6", 230 pounds, out of the state of Texas. Listen, Tiger fans, he had a laundry list of offers from across the country, the Alabamas of the world, Florida State, but he chooses your Clemson Tigers. But I couldn't help but notice, and you catch me up here, I didn't see Texas A&M. I mean, here's a town College Station just up the road from you. Are you surprised that you didn't have an offer from the Aggies, or what's the situation there?
So definitely not surprised, but I mean, we've been talking a bunch, but they took three in the grade above me. So they just can't take one in my class, but if somewhere to leave, they told me I was the first one they were going to call. Yeah, they're super interested, just kind of the circumstances. They couldn't take one. So
makes a lot of sense from my perspective. Just wanted to get that out there for everybody to find out what the situation was. Because I know our buddies over at texags.com do a tremendous job and was very surprised not to see your name on their offer board. Again, Reed McKeska joining us here on Clemson Sports Talk. So, Reed, what was it about Clemson that sold the Tigers program to you being a kid all the way from the Lone Star State?
I mean, it's a couple factors. Coach Sweeney is amazing. Coach Richardson's amazing. Like they've shown so much love to me and my family. Also, Taj Boyd and Coach Shipman. So, just kind of all the love they've shown. The team culture there is unbeatable. The care they take care of you after football. So many reasons, but they take care of you after football. Great culture. It's kind of an obvious one, but they're a national championship caliber team every year. That's someone who I want to play for.
Well, and give me some insight into that. Being a kid that's out there in the middle part of our country, the new college football playoff era is here. Clemson's one of the handful of teams that has a national championship with that, you know, that golden scepter, as they call it. And as a matter of fact, they've got two of them. How does that resonate in your opinion? You know, how does that influence kids across the country when they see that paw on the side of Clemson's helmet?
It's definitely really symbolic, I feel like, for just how much they win. I mean, I have a lot of family in the Carolinas, too, so that definitely helps. So they'll be able to come to all the games, which was a pretty big factor. I think the paw, like, no matter – everybody knows it. It's pretty iconic now, so it just symbolizes them, just their culture of winning. I mean, when you see Clemson, you see a winning football team.
Again, Reed McKeska here with us for a few more minutes, talking about his commitment just moments ago to your Clemson Tigers, 6'6", 230-pound tight end. Now, Reed, when you've had a chance to spend time with the coaching staff, I heard you mention Coach Richardson, new in his capacity there as the tight ends coach, but certainly somebody that's the passing game coordinator. I'm hopeful. It sounds like you've also sort of heard tales of perhaps more utilization of the position going back to when they had Jordan Leggett in that capacity back when Deshaun Watson was the quarterback for the Tigers. But from that standpoint, who have you heard the most from? Is it Coach Richardson? How often have you heard from Coach Sweeney? And, you know, how have those conversations gone?
Yeah, so I said Coach Richardson, probably hear from him basically every day. Coach Sweeney probably weekly, and our conversations are basically like how I'm doing, how they're doing, not just about football, life, et cetera.
Well, I know Coach Richardson will do a fantastic job, and they're excited to see how things develop. And now with a brand new commitment from Reed McKeska, the four-star tight end prospect out of Bridgeland, Texas. Matter of fact, folks, he is the number one ranked tight end in the state of Texas in the 2023 class. Now, yesterday, listen, you're the second commitment for the Clemson Tigers in a couple of days. I mean, did you follow the commitment of quarterback Christopher Vazani earlier, I guess technically yesterday afternoon?
I actually committed before I knew he did. So when I found that out, that was just kind of icing on the cake.
I heard that, man. Well, listen, best of luck to you this coming season, Reed, and we certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, that's Reed McKeska. That was an interview we did with him just after his commitment last week. He joins Christopher Vazina and also Nathaniel Joseph as the three commits currently for Clemson in the 2023 recruiting class. But, man, a great fit. If you're saying, Swanee, why did it take you a while to run that audio? Well, we actually had that in a premium article for our subscribers on our website where for just $63.17, that's right, Gamecocks, I said it, $63.17, you can get some full coverage of your Clemson Tigers, including exclusive recruiting interviews just like that. So if you like that interview and you want more of it, head over to our website right now. That's ClemsonSportsTalk.com. 803-450-0086. Wait a quick break. We'll come back. We'll recap some of what's been going on in the NBA playoffs. And hey, good news for some of you. My Los Angeles Lakers didn't make it, as you are well aware. Stay with us. Clemson Sports Talk on Twitter, at Clemson Sports. Join the nearly 25,000 followers that we've got over on our website. On our Twitter account. Would love for you to do that. Would love for, man, if we had 25,000 subscribers to our website, let me do that math real quick. That is an unreadable. I almost have to chuckle that I just said that. So 25,000, I guess, because I mentioned the $63.17 per year subscription over on the website. Let's see, if we did have 25,000 of you subscribing to the website, which we don't, I'd love to get there. Trust me. I'd be bringing in $1.57 million a year through the website. So let's do that. Let's forget following me on Twitter. Go sign up for the website. Swanee's retired. How? I don't know. I can't figure it out. Yeah, good gracious. Man, did I really say 25,000 subscribers on the website? You guys are like, why are you asking about a realtor, Swanee? Or a small engine repair. Misspoke there. Not a Freudian slip, believe me. Not a Freudian slip. 803-450-0086. All right, so the NBA playoffs got underway, and there's a couple of contrasts here about the NBA playoffs that I do want to make note of. And again, Brad Brownell, Clemson men's basketball coach, has a couple of spots currently open on his staff, losing Antonio Reynolds-Dean to Georgia and then Kareem Richardson to NC State. I have not heard anything about Dick Bender, Clemson's other assistant coach, but who knows? Maybe Dick Bender looks to go elsewhere at some point. All that being said, I think it is funny that there are some of you who have, come at me when I've said that I didn't really believe that the play-in game for Brad Brownell, the victory in the playing game was being in the NCAA tournament when that took place back in 2010, Brownell's first year when Clemson beat UAB. Like, I mean, people count that as a postseason win or an NCAA tournament win. I really don't. And now with the NBA, with their little play-in tournament, I did find it intriguing that so many people, when you have these matchups to get in, people are like, yeah, well, you really didn't make the playoffs then. If you didn't actually get into the playoffs, you didn't make the playoffs. And I can't say the Clemson didn't, quote, make the NCAA tournament that year, but they didn't win a game in the NCAA tournament that year. But the NBA playoffs are underway, and minus my Los Angeles Lakers, which is probably one of the biggest shocks given their lineup in the history of the NBA. Like, the people who have said it is the historically, you know, most significantly great team to miss the playoffs, just given the talent on their roster. Hey, I am with you. But we do have NBA games that are still taking place, even minus Los Angeles, including Game 2 in the Eastern as Philadelphia takes on the Raptors tonight at 7:30 on TNT. Philadelphia leads that series 1-0.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You know they've got Joel Embiid there with Philly, but also picking up James Harden during the season with that trade with the Nets seems pretty key here for Philadelphia and maybe James Harden as much as anybody to have a very good run in the playoffs. Harden does not, of course, have a championship ring to his name. At 8:30 on NBA TV, it'll be the Utah Jazz taking on the Dallas Mavericks in the West. The Jazz lead the series 1-0. That's being played in Dallas. Then you've got at the Chase Center in San Francisco, home of the Warriors, Golden State, who leads 1-0, will take on the Nuggets. That matchup, 10 o'clock on TNT. Yesterday on Easter Sunday in the NBA, the Miami Heat took a 1-0 series lead over the Atlanta Hawks, 115-91. You also had Boston defeating the Brooklyn Nets right at the buzzer. Jason Tatum with the game winner, 115-114, giving the Celtics a 1-0 lead in that series. The Bucks, the defending champions, knocked off the Bulls, 93-86, to take a 1-0 lead in that matchup. And then the Suns, with a 110-99 lead in the nightcap, defeating the New Orleans Pelicans, and Phoenix leads that series 1-0. But the series I'm really interested in watching is that matchup between the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies for a couple of reasons. Minnesota, by the way, won the opener. They'll play again tomorrow at 8:30 in Memphis. But Ja Morant, the former Sandlapper, Ja Morant, he had a couple of big plays in that opening game against the Timberwolves on Saturday night. But unfortunately for Morant, just not enough there offensively. 130 to 117, the Timberwolves come out on top and take a 1-0 lead on the road. So a key game tomorrow for the Memphis Grizzlies. But Morant, just go watch, just Google some of his highlights, man. He might be the future. I know that New Orleans has Zion Williamson, who was the number one pick, also a former Sandlapper. I understand that, but Zion's health is an issue that doesn't look like it's going to go away unless he decides he's going to lose some pounds. But Ja Morant is as athletic maybe as any player that we've seen at his size in the league in a while. 6'3", 174 pounds, jumps like a kangaroo, man. It is unbelievable, averaging 27.4 points per game, 5.7 rebounds, and 6.7 assists. And let's not forget again, this is a kid that's from the state of South Carolina that went to Murray State, for crying out loud. Let that sink in. With a quick break, we'll come back and put a big old bow on the Monday edition of the show that shakes the Southland right after this. Stay with us.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Monday afternoon, Lawton Swan, the show that shakes the Southland. Follow us on Twitter, at Clemson Sports. That'll get you Clemson news, notes, information, and more 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as I mentioned, we are excited about some expansion that we're going to be doing over on our website, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Put the .com on it, doggone it. Would love to hear from you here on the program one day soon. 803-450-0086. Four-star defensive end David Ojibwe will announce his commitment on April the 27th. Ojibwe is a high-value defensive end target out of the Washington, D.C. area, St. John's College High School, the same high school, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly here, as Trey Williams. Ojibwe is a four-star defensive end slash outside linebacker. Going to be an Under Armour All-American, 6'4", 245-pounder. So he will be making his commitment on April the 27th. So keep your eyeballs on that one. Again, possible Clemson pickup there for your Tigers. We'll reach out to David to try to get an exclusive interview with him as well. Again, 803-450-0086. Clemson Tiger baseball team tomorrow at 6 o'clock will take on the 10th-ranked Georgia Bulldogs on the road in Athens. Given the fact that Clemson came out of that three-game series with Wake Forest picking up a series win, man, there is no doubt about how big that was for that team, just kind of given the skid they've been on, the struggles they've had, and it was a team that started a season that started really with so much promise to only kind of fall back to the pack, for lack of a, you know, a better term on that front. I will say, though, and we'll let you hear one final time from Monty Lee, that there were a lot of positives in that 10-8 win yesterday up at Winston-Salem. We will not play Caden Grice and Jackson Lindley here as we did earlier. But here's Monty Lee's reaction to the 10-8 win over the Demon Deacons. And that's, by the way, a 23rd-ranked Demon Deacon team.
Well, really proud of our guys, the way that we fought, the way that we swung the bats today. You know, had to go to the bullpen early. Got great outings out of the bullpen by talent. Jeffrey Gilbert was huge for us, you know, pitching on one day rest to come in and tough it out for us and give us some innings and pitch good for us. Jackson Lindley, you know, is the MVP of this one. For him to step up, you know, there at the end of the game and pitch the way he did to get the last six outs of the game just says a lot about his makeup and his toughness. And, you know, we just continue to swing the bats. You know, we hit some home runs, hit four or five home runs, and swung the bats well, you know, the last 2 days. Played great defensively, and we were able to hold on against a really good club.
And, of course, hopefully those good vibes continue for the Clemson Tiger baseball team tomorrow as, again, they travel to the classic city of Athens to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. You know, one of the other things we've been doing a little bit more of is some posts in our forums on hot topics. And how about this one from over the weekend? ESPN put out their FPI, their Football Power Index ratings. Your Tigers checked in at number 4. Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, and there's lowly Clemson for the world that thought the Tigers had fallen off of the map, checking in at number 4 with, wait for it, a 26% chance to play in the title game and a 59% chance to play in the college football playoff. Oh, woe is me. Oh, Clemson. We're just Eeyore. Oh, woe is us. We had a 10-3 season. Whatever will we do? Look, I don't know if Clemson will get back to the college football playoff or not. But I have said and will continue to say, and there's not one person out there that can convince me otherwise. Where Clemson sits today, with the program that they have, in the conference they play in, with guys like Amarius Sims spurning Florida State, who I guess is supposed to be this created monster that Clemson should fear because there's really not anybody in the league that really scares the Tigers, they have an unbelievable chance every year to make the college football playoff at this point. Two things have to change for that to be a different story. Clemson has to continue to backpedal, and somebody else in the ACC has to step forward. Because as long as Clemson's good enough to win their games in the league and defeat South Carolina and perhaps another Power 5 opponent outside of the league, this year that matchup will be Notre Dame, they are going to have a chance to get into the playoff. And even if you lose that game to the other opponent outside of your league, but you still win your conference and you win your conference championship, you still have a chance to get in. And nothing proves that more. Nothing proves that more than the, man, Clemson sure has fallen off, preseason FPI Football Power Index from ESPN. Oh, Tigers at number 4. Clemson, folks, will have a chance to get back to the college football playoff. Maybe it's a little high, maybe it's a little low, but they are in the mix out of the gates September 5th when they take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. That's the truth. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Until then, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.